Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Freshly Booked on One Radio. Join us as we interview authors just beginning their literary journey. It doesn't matter how their book is published, the world agrees being a published author is a big step. We want to celebrate and spotlight these writers whose words were brought into the hands of readers. Listen in as they talk about their new experiences and join us in jubilation for those who are freshly booked.
Hey everybody, welcome to Freshly Booked. I'm your guest host, W.T. Prater, and we are so happy that you're joining us this Sunday afternoon. We have with us this evening Mr. At This Gage, who is a new author who's just come out with his book, Spark. And I want you to say hi. So, say hi.
Hi.
Very literal. Awesome. Atlas, why don't you tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I am a 55-year-old married stay-at-home father of I have three teenagers. We live up in on the north coast of California in the Redwood Forest, a place of almost unimaginable beauty for those who don't know about it. Of course, I spend way too much of my time parked behind a computer desk instead of walking around outside in it. But, you know, I can see it from my window, so that's a bonus. And I just have... Yeah, my first book was just published, and as you said, it's called Spark.
Okay. And what made you, at the age of 55, decide that you wanted to enter the publishing arena?
I didn't actually start writing until maybe about 10 years ago. It was a very spontaneous, spur of the moment thing. I was actually driving home with my family from like a vacation, and the kids were in the back seat. My wife was sitting on the seat next to me, you know, reading a book, which she can do while she's in the car. I had a book on the tape player. In the car. It was by C.S. Lewis. It was called The Horse and His Boy, part of the Narnia series. Unfortunately, the performance... Hello? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm here. Am I coming through okay?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, all right, good. Anyway, the tape was pretty bad, and no one was really listening to the tape of the book, except for me. But I was driving along, and I'm just with my own thoughts, and I suddenly had this idea that I should try and write a book for young adult readers. This was right in the middle of the Harry Potter mania, and I very kind of crassly thought that maybe I could capitalize on that craze for magical stories for young readers and write a book, which I was not any kind of writer at that point. I hadn't written anything like fiction since high school, I think. So it was a pretty audacious and arrogant idea, but the idea was in my head, and so by the time I'd finished driving a few hours later, I had the beginnings of a story in my mind, and I spent a couple months plotting, and then another 6 or 7 months writing out a first draft in spiral-bound notebooks, and that actually turned into my first novel, which was a magical historical adventure story set in Minoan Crete called The Quickening Wind. Actually, last year, after a gap of almost 8 years, I wrote the second book of that series, and I'm going to get around to those eventually, getting those published. But years and went by, and I wrote a couple other books. I wrote Spark, and I've been, you know, shopped around to agents and stuff. But eventually, I finally stumbled upon Lycan Press, and they wanted to publish Spark. So that was how that came about.
It's kind of funny because it's the first time I've ever heard somebody tell a story about how audiobooks actually inspired them to write. That's kind of awesome.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So let me ask you, the first book that you wrote was, would it be considered a YA?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, okay. almost all my books have been YA. I have one that's really not, but out of the five or so books I've written, they're almost all for for a younger audience. Yeah.
Okay. And do you feel like the fact that you have teenage kids that kind of inspired your enthusiasm for that particular genre?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that had to do with it. I like the stuff myself. I enjoyed Harry Potter, and I read Lord of the Rings, and I read all that stuff when I was younger, and I still like them as an adult. But I think definitely having kids around was part of that. It just kind of made me tune into the way that kids talk and the way that they act around themselves, you know, when they're on their own or when they're with their friends and so forth. There's been, you know, that definitely was an inspiration.
Yeah. I'm actually rereading the Harry Potter series right now. I think personally that YA is probably one of my favorite genres. I do read a lot of it. And I feel like J.K. Rowling did something with Harry Potter that kind of revolutionized YA and brought it into a wider spectrum of an audience. And I absolutely adore her for doing that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's opened up a whole new thing for a lot of people. And I don't know where I read it, but somewhere I read that something like 60% of the people who read YA books are actually 25 or older. It's a very normal thing these days for adults to read YA.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
With the various books that you've put out, how many of them have been through independent publishing and how many of them have been through house?
Well, my only book that's actually published right now is Spark. The other ones are books that I finished that are sitting around, and I'm still hoping to get them published. But there is a second book which is coming out this year called The Flight of the Wren, which is also going to be published by Lycaon. They just accepted that a month or so ago, so we're just starting the editorial process there. But that's another YA book, very different from Spark. It's not connected to Spark at all, but it's another YA title.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell anybody out there who's listening about Spark? Just give us like a one-minute synopsis of the plot line of this book.
Okay. Spark is about a girl, a high school girl named Francie, and Spark, which is another character. Spark is, for lack of a better way of describing him, a sort of a fleck of sentient stardust. It's hard to say much about him, really, because nobody's really sure what he is, his origins, or what exactly his nature is. He seems to be made entirely out of energy. He has consciousness and also the ability to communicate. He forms a sort of mental link with Francie, so they can not only speak, but also share thoughts and feelings and memories. And he can actually do this with multiple people at one time, which leads to some interesting circumstances, a sort of kind of mental psychic conference call between various people. That's the setup, of course. The story itself is about a series of unexplained deaths of homeless people in a downtown alley, which are unexplained, and nobody really knows why, what's going on there, but as it turns out, Spark seems to have some connection to them, to these events. And the story is mostly involves sorting out the, you know, who's to blame for that and what's going on. And it leads them into a sort of odd kind of parallel world called The Pocket, Francie and her friends. That's really just the tip of the iceberg. There's also all sorts of subplots, of course, but that pretty much takes up my minute, I think.
That sounds wonderful. I think that would definitely be something that I would love to read. Mm-hmm. And I understand that you have an excerpt that you want to read for our audience today.
Oh, sure. I can do that, absolutely. Let me see. I think I'll just go ahead and choose this excerpt. It's from the first chapter. It's the point where she first meets Spark. And Francie, just to set it up, she's just come home from basketball practice. And all night long she's been hearing this noise in her head, just like a little tone, just like bonk, And she had no idea where it's coming from, and no one else can hear it. It's kind of driving her crazy. But eventually it stops, and she goes home and does her homework and so forth. And 11 o'clock at night, she's like getting up. She's like getting ready for bed. She brushes out her hair. And now I will pick up the reading from right there. Snap.
Okay.
Hey, okay,
yep,
I'll
go for it.
Okay, all right here. Snap. The air cracked like a cap pistol. Something bright flew across the room. I wheeled around with my hands still full of hair. What the? It flared orange and then red, a bright floating fleck of light. I watched it swirl, slowly stirring the air, rising like an ember from a campfire. Fire! I dropped my hairbrush. My hair was on fire. I grabbed my head with both hands, pawing through my hair. No, no, no. But I couldn't feel anything burning. I checked in the mirror. Nope, not on fire, not even a little. I turned around again. The fleck hovered at eye level now. It wasn't orange anymore. It was blue. I leaned in a little closer. It blinked white and then blue again. Okay, this is... But really, I couldn't think of a word that fit. I circled it in slow, careful steps. It stayed still, dangling in the air. I reached out a finger. The fleck flashed silver and spiraled upward before settling at eye level again. Reflected in the dresser mirror, a second fleck performed the same maneuver. What are you? My voice quavered a little. I wasn't scared. Not exactly, but I could feel my heart beating pretty fast. I leaned in closer. What were you doing in my hair? It made a tight vertical loop, pulsing green, blue, then green again. Why are you doing that? I don't know why I kept asking it questions, like I thought it could answer. I guess I was really talking to myself. I pushed my lips out and blew, just gently. The fleck flickered in a tiny draft, but it didn't blow away. If anything, it drew a little closer. I had the sudden impulse to run downstairs and get a jar from the kitchen and see if I could catch it, but I didn't do that. Instead, I put my hand out. The fleck danced in until it was barely an inch above my open palm. I braced myself and watched it settle into my hand. It was cool and tiny on my skin. Hey, I whispered. What are you? It glowed, and I heard a sound, low and metallic. Bonk. Was that you? There was a chirp, and then a low, warbling hoot, like when you blow air over the top of a bottle. None of these sounds came in through my ears. They were just there, sounding in my head. Again, it went bonk. That seemed to be its favorite. A click, a whistle, a little wooden pop. Far off thunder rumbled, quiet at first. It rose up inside me, getting bigger and louder. The sound swooped up to into a squeal and then dropped even faster to a subwoofer grumble and faded to silence. Is this supposed to mean something? It made a soft chugging noise, like a little toy train. The whole time, the thing just sat there, glowing in my palm. I don't think we're getting anywhere. It rose into the air until it hung just a few inches from my nose. I stared. It glowed blue, flashed silver, and then paled to dull violet. It's okay, I said. And this time I was totally talking to myself. This isn't really happening. It's a dream. I'm dreaming. A dream about a little fleck of light that floats around making strange noises. Then it flared bright crimson and flew straight into my head. And that's where chapter one ends.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. I have to say I'm more than a little intrigued by your book. I'm going to have to definitely get a copy of it. And I want to let anybody who's out there who's listening know that there is a buy link to this book on the episode page for this show. So if you haven't already bought a copy of this book, you need to go there and buy a copy. And I understand that the book actually comes out in paperback this week, correct?
Yes, the paperback release is on March 11th. It's already available as an ebook, which can be had at either from Lycaon Press or it's available on Amazon.com as well.
Very cool. I'm going to have to probably get it in paperback because I love my e-reader. I do. My Nook is wonderful, but there's nothing that beats actually having a tangible, physical. You can smell it. You can glance at it with your eyes. pretty, yeah. And just I'm still a huge fan of physical books. So,
yeah, I know. What
I want to ask you when you were trying to figure out what route you were going to go to get your work out into the world, why did you decide to go with like hand press?
Well, I spent a long time actually trying to go the more traditional route of finding an agent first, and then, you know, hopefully having the agent sell the book to a publisher. But it's just really tough. I mean, I'm sure everybody knows, anyone's ever tried, how hard it is to find an agent. I spent a long time trying to, I must have, not for Spark so much, but for the first book I wrote, Quickening Wind, I probably did targeted agent pitches to 40 or 50 agents, which I know is not a huge number compared to some people, but, you know, that's like a lot of work. You do that long enough, and eventually you just figure this is not going to happen. I considered the idea of self-publishing, but I wasn't really feeling too, I don't know, I didn't feel great about that, mostly because I just didn't know how I was ever going to get people to notice my book, you know, as so many books are self-published. And it works for some people, but they have to work really hard at the whole promotional angle. And it really was just luck that I found Lycaon Press. That was a... It was actually kind of a funny story. About a year ago, I noticed this contest over at the Romance Writers of America website, which it was kind of strange that I noticed. I don't really remember how that happened because I don't really read romance and I certainly don't write romance. But they were looking for new unpublished YA authors. I guess they were trying to start a line of a YA line. And I looked at the contest website, and I thought it was interesting. It looked like a pretty good possibility. And they had different categories, and I actually didn't enter Spark. I actually entered a different book called Flight of the Wren, which, you know, as a YA paranormal. And one of the readers, one of the judges, was a man named Justin Perry of Lycaon Press. And I'd never heard of Lycaon Press. But I thought, okay, well, I figured I'd go and look at them because it was a new name I'd never heard of. And I get to their website, and I discover, to my surprise, that they take unagented submissions. So you can just submit. You don't have to have an agent. And I thought that just based on their what they said they were looking for, that Spark might be interesting. So I submitted it. And maybe about 6 weeks later, they emailed me and said, yeah, they loved it. They'd be glad to publish it. What's
That's
funny about
so
that,
awesome.
It is. It was really lucky. What's sort of funny about it is that in the meantime, this contest happened, and I heard from them. I didn't win the contest, but the responses were very intriguing. I had one that was just kind of okay, and one that was good, and one that was just like off the charts great. You know, 5 out of 5s across the board, wonderful comments, and this person like really liked the book. And of course, that was felt great anyway. But I also thought, well, maybe this person will want to publish my book. I mean, there was an agent, and there's an editor, and then there was Justin Perry, who's the third judge. And he was already publishing Spark, so I thought, well, maybe I'll see if someone else wants to publish, if it's one of these other people who wants to publish Flight of the Wren. So, of course, I submitted to them, submitted to the agent, the editor, and they both, like, write me back and say, no thanks. So I figured, okay, well, I guess it was Justin that liked Flight of the Wren. Makes sense. And so I email him about it, and I just see if he might be interested in publishing that as well. And he says, well, it's not familiar to me. Can you send me, like, a synopsis? And I did, and he said, yeah, I'm sure I didn't read that book. but it sounds interesting. Send me the manuscript. I'll look at it. And they liked it, and he liked it, and they're going to publish it. So that was great. But the weird thing is I still don't know who wrote that third review. It doesn't make any sense. It's just kind of floating out there, and I keep it. It's like a thing I, you know, can have hanging up on my wall to feel good about myself, but it's like, I don't know who wrote it. It's weird.
Absolutely.
What was sort of funny about
it? I want to ask you.
Go ahead.
You being a newer author, how are you approaching things like social media? Because I know nowadays it's a dog eat dog kind of world for authors out there. What's it like for you as a new author to have to deal with all the social media and everything?
Yeah, it's definitely a new thing for me. I've been on Facebook and I'm on Twitter, but it's I'm not very active, and I definitely wasn't active before Spark got published. I think I had maybe 60 or 70 Facebook friends. Now it's about my circle, people. And that's, I've considered writing a blog. I've done blog posts for other people and so forth, but it's like, I just haven't decided to do that, mostly because I'm not sure who would be reading it. There's so many blogs out there, and, it's like, who am I going to promote it to? Am I going to promote it to the same people who see what I write on the Facebook or on Twitter? And so I've limited myself mostly to that right now, to trying to be active on Facebook and trying to make lots of connections with people. And that's been fun. I met a lot of people, and there's been a lot of the authors at Lycaon and Breathless Press, they're connected to Lycaon too. And so it's fun to talk and so forth and share stories. But as far as reaching a bigger audience, I gotta be honest, I have no idea how that's done. I'm still just sort of casting about, hoping that, people are going to notice, and it's, I'm doing whatever I can, This radio show is one example, But I have no idea.
I know that we here at Writers Online Network are your advocate. We are here to support you, and I definitely think that your book sounds wonderful. You sound awesome. I'm so proud of you. I don't mean this to sound ageist, but especially to be 55 years old and to put yourself out there, it's not something that is easily done, and I'm sure it's not something that, is, it takes a lot of courage. It let's just be completely blunt about it. It takes a lot of balls to get out there and to do what you're doing, and we applaud you so much for getting out there and following your dream, and I think you're an inspiration, personally.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's been a good nice surprise for me too. I know some people write for 30 years and never get published, and I feel, it took me more like 8 to 10, which is still a long time, but after 8 to 10 years, you kind of start to wonder whether it's ever going to happen, and it did.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm very happy about that.
So my question to you is, you put out your first book. It's getting good reviews. You've gotten a lot of, it sounds like, some positive feedback, which is awesome. So where do you go from here? What's your next step as an author? Are you already have another project that you're working on, I understand.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, that one is quite different from Spark. Like I said, it's a very different tale. I have, it really are three or four other books that I think could be published. A couple I'm hoping maybe Lycaon will publish eventually, and there's a couple that really aren't in their wheelhouse. They're pretty much limited to young adult paranormal, which fits a lot of my stuff, but there's a couple of other things that really don't qualify as that, and I'd like to get them out there too, either through some other independent publisher or maybe even an agent, I don't know. I really enjoy the writing part, and I'm enjoying the social media part more than I thought I would. It's actually not, it's actually fun, mixing it up with people and talking to people. So I really just hope I can keep on going in this direction and kind of start to build up, enough of an audience that it can become self-sustaining and, pick up momentum as it goes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that you're definitely heading in the right direction. I think that you've got the right charisma, and I look forward to seeing where it goes from here. I think that your novel has the power to be able to appeal to a lot of different people. So I want to advocate once again to anybody out there listening, go to the episode page and find the buy link and buy a copy of this book, buy a physical copy of this book when it comes out on March 11th and support Mr. Gage because, it's just the right thing to do. That's just that. Let's lay it all on the line. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. So I know that we're getting down to the last few minutes of our show.
Okay.
I just want to ask, as somebody who, you've had a lot of projects in the past. You've had at least four previous projects before Spark. What advice would you give to people who are out there that are listening, that are kind of in that middle gray area, they're still trying to figure out, do I want to publish, do I not want to publish, do I want to go indie, do I want to go small press? What advice do you give to new authors that might just now be deciding to take their writing journey into the broader spectrum of publishing?
That's a good question. So much at the beginning myself in so many ways that it's hard for me to feel like I can actually offer a whole lot of useful advice. I guess I would say really the most important thing is to just work on the craft and try to make the books and make the writing as strong as you can. Because the rest of it is so it's so choosy and chancy. You just don't know what's going to happen or how you're going to struggle, how you're going to stumble upon some avenue towards publication. And it might never happen. It really doesn't happen more often than not. And so it's important that the writing be what if you love the writing, then write. If it becomes a chore and your only hope is that maybe somebody will someday publish it and you'll make a lot of money, well, then my advice would probably be don't bother, because it's just not that just can't be what it's about at this stage of the game. It's wonderful if it happens. Obviously, sometimes it happens, to people who totally didn't expect it to happen, but it's such a long shot. And I'm not advocating anybody give up if they love it. And it wouldn't matter if I did advocate it, because if they love it, they're not going to give up.
Yeah. I think that my addition to that would be make sure that you give as much as you get, or even give more than what you get. Make sure you build up a strong network of people who are going to support you, and because, critics may eat you alive and readers may eat you alive, but we as writers, we have to support one another. So I really want to thank you, for just being on the show and allowing us to support you, because it's such a powerful tool to really make sure that you've got that support in place, so that maybe when you don't get those 5-star reviews and you don't get exactly what you're looking for from everybody out there in the world, you've got that support network that keeps you going at all times.
Yeah, that's a good piece of advice, and I agree. That's really been one of the side benefits of doing this. Is I've met new people and I've enjoyed their company, and ultimately that's almost as good as being published.
Absolutely. Well, thank you to you, and thank you to our list audience. Go to the episode page, click the buy link, buy the book. Buy the physical copy of the book when it comes out this week. Thank you to everybody listening. check out writersonline.com, writersonlinenetwork.com, and find out what you can do with the network around you.